Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello, and welcome to In Faith Network, brought to you by Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and with me is my amazing co-host, Anita Higman. Anita, how are you?
Doing very well, Sheila. Thanks.
Well, you know, I have to say, the Blog Talk Radio has a new switchboard, which they're now calling the studio, which is absolutely wonderful. But when they upgraded it, we lost a lot of our intro music. So our In Faith intro should be back at our next show. But just so that people do know, this is In Faith Network, and we have a wonderful, multi-talented author, director, guest tonight, Bill Myers. Welcome, Bill.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here.
Now, before we go too far, let me just do a little housekeeping for our listeners. Let them know they can. We do have the live chat session open here. And if you want to send a question or just chat amongst yourselves, you're welcome to go over there and do that. You can also call into the show if you have any questions. That number is 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the show, you can download the podcast or come over to readersentertainment.com or infaithnetwork.com. And we'll have a blog that will accompany the podcast, and we'll make sure that we put up some links so that you can find our guest and find the books and anything else that we may talk about. We'll be sure to get links put up on the blog. And if you didn't make the live show and you do have questions, of course, you can send comments there. We promise we'll get any comments or questions over to Bill for you, so you have not missed out in the slightest. Now, Anita, I know that you have you know a lot about Bill, and you've admired his work for a long time. I thought maybe this time you might enjoy introducing our guest and starting off with some questions. What do you think?
I would love to. Let me give a little bit of a bio here, although I'm sure a lot of listeners out there are familiar with Bill Myers, but he has written and or directed a few dozen films and has written 60 books for all ages, which together have sold over 8 million copies. And that is so impressive. And Bill's projects have won over 40 awards. He also gets to travel all over the world with his work, and he just loves it. So we do welcome you to the show, Bill. And
great.
So happy to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be had or something like that.
Well, you know, I was reading online, and you really do have an interesting writer's journey. I was very fascinated by your story. You didn't even want to be a writer starting out. In fact, you almost became a dentist. And so I really have to hear some more about this story. Could you mind giving us some details here?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, it would be a scary thought for me to be a dentist today. I've got a little ADD going on. I could just start pulling things to keep it interesting. I was heading in that direction, and then I made a promise with only the type of moxie, an 18-year-old boy who knows everything can make, and that promise was, God, I will do anything you want, anything at all. You just name it, I'm your guy. Of course, we did know that I got C's and D's in my one writing class in college, so it certainly wouldn't be that. And, of course, that's exactly what it was. I'd actually seen a grand total of 3 movies in my life. I had seen Pollyanna, The Parent Trap, and Pinocchio. And now I'm sitting in the theater watching The Godfather.
Oh, boy.
I was so astonished at the power media had over my peers who were standing up and cheering when people were getting massacred that I walked out of that theater just giving God a piece of my mind, telling him what he needed to do. He needed to pay attention to the power of the media. And every time I told him that, it bounced back at me that I was supposed to be one of those guys. And we had a long argument over that for several weeks. I finally cried uncle and changed my major to filmmaking.
Wow.
My goodness. That is a good story. I like that. Well, and how is it that the extra part of the story about the teens, how did this get switched over? Did you start writing for adults or teens, or how did that start?
Well, I was writing some TV shows, and I got a call from a misguided publisher who heard that there was a famous Christian TV writer living in Hollywood. What they didn't know about was the starvation part, and I didn't bother to tell them that. And they asked me if I would write a book for them. And I asked an important question at that time in my career, and that was, do you pay? And they said, yeah. And I said, sure, no problem. And it was a Bible commentary for teenagers. And it was so poorly written that, by the grace of God, I've been to eBay and Amazon.com and have bought up every single copy. So nobody will ever be able to find it.
I have one of those too, Bill. It's okay.
Wouldn't it have been nice if somebody would have taught me how to write before I did it? But I guess if you make your mistakes, they're all made in public.
Yep.
Well, I was wondering, do you hear from your teen readers? I know that you have many, and what is it they say to you when you hear from them?
Well, I write, for different groups. When I write comedy, I have a boys' comedy series called My Life As. Now, boys don't read, so when I get these letters, and sometimes they even come by mail, they're not written, they're carved into the paper. Mr. Myers, I don't read. When's your next book coming? Your bestest friend, Gus. So those I hold real dear. That's a series that I wrote strictly for boys. I've written another series for teens called Forbidden Doors. I'm getting really angry at the way supernatural counterfeits are being shoved down our children's throats right now. So I wanted to write a series that really exposed that stuff, still in an engaging way, so that the child will, or the teen will, keep turning the pages, but at the same time to educate them and show them that some of this stuff is not to be fooled around and played with.
I get
a different type of letters from kids that are exploring the supernatural. And then the third type of letters I get is with this new series that we were talking about just before we went on the air called TJ and the Time Stumblers. And again, this is a comedy series, but it's for boys and girls. And so I'm having a lot of fun starting to read the mail with those as well.
Wonderful. And like I said, I do applaud you for what you just said. I agree totally. And I'm curious, when you say you hear from teenagers, do they ever email you or write you and say, you've changed my life, this particular book has changed my life?
And I suppose that's really what keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, getting your mortgage paid is a nice perk, but getting those letters, and a lot of them, as over the years now, as the library of books continues to build up, getting letters that say, My favorite is, I've been a Christian all my life, now I finally get it, thanks. And I get a lot of those. I get a lot of those because, they've heard it so long that they've forgotten what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my favorite. And I don't keep the I couldn't set your book down or those letters because there's a lot of those coming in. But the ones that I keep on my hard drive are the ones that say just what you said, my life has been changed. Mm-hmm. And that's I don't think there's anything more rewarding than that.
I agree. That must be very satisfying. Well, I notice also that you're not afraid to handle the heavy topics, which you've already covered that a little bit. But what are some of the hardest issues that teens have to face today? What do you think about that?
The hardest issues.
Drug use or suicide among their friends or trying to get along with their parents? Or, there's so many.
Yeah, there are. I think if I could only write one more book for a teenager,
mm-hmm.
That topic would be self-esteem. The poor girls have these impossible figures shoved at them and told this is what esteems a woman as being valuable. The guys have a whole nother false set of values shoved at them, and the poor kids don't know how cool they are being who they are. They hide behind electronic media, social media.
Mm-hmm.
They're lost in the video games. They just, it's like their identity's been stolen. And so one of the things that I'm really, and you'll see that a little bit in TJ and the Time Stumblers, one of the things I'm really campaigning for now is how much they're loved by God. I don't think they understand how awesomely important they are, and they just because they don't match up to what they see in the media.
I agree. Beautiful answer. So, do you feel like the kids are spending too much time with social media then?
Oh,
and it's artificial. How do you feel about that in general?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. And there's two ways of, from an artist's point of view, there's two ways to deal with that. Either stand on a soapbox and scream, "Don't do this," and that'll stop one person, and it won't stop my children.
Yeah.
Or the other way is to find ways to get into their culture, to be entertaining so they keep turning the pages,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time have some medicine underneath all that candy coating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, this question connects a little bit with what we've talked about, but I'm sure teenagers really do want their parents to know certain things about them and maybe a better understanding between the two people. But what do you think that teens really do wish their parents knew about them? Maybe that's the best way to ask the question.
That in their own peculiar way, they're trying the best they can. You know, as parents, and I'm a parent of a couple, well, they've just left teenagerism and they're rejoining the human race gradually.
Mm.
But the just the idea that considering what dark waters they're swimming in right now, they're trying to do the best they can. And it's the balance for a parent, of course, is you want to encourage your children to be all that they can be, but at the same time, you don't want to make them feel hopeless and belittled when they fail. So there's a bit of a tension, but I think the teen wants simply to be encouraged, to be to tell their folks, "I'm doing the best I can. Help me out." Though I certainly won't acknowledge it.
Uh-huh.
But affirm me. Help me be who I don't know who I am yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good answer. I like that. Well, back to your writing and the preachy element, I was wondering, I'm sure are not preachy, but I'm sure that it would be easy to dip into that, and just wondered, how do you keep that out of your writing so that you can still connect with young people, you know, without having that element of being overly preachy and trying to get a message through to them?
Yeah. Some of that is just my experience out here working in Hollyweird. Where people want to be entertained, nobody is going to a movie to be lectured or to be to be sold something.
Mm-hmm.
So my first agenda is to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
My second agenda is to present some things for them to consider, things of eternal value for them to consider. You know, sometimes it's as innocuous says, "Hey, try not lying. That might work out."
Mm.
When we're talking about morality. And then from time to time I'll get into, but the best way not to lie is to know how loved you are, and you're that loved by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned earlier about being a dad, and so I wondered how that fits in with writing for teens. Does that help you a lot, do you think, to be able to write for teens?
Yeah, it's a gold mine. I mean, as artists, we know that we are always watching, and other people. I think artists are a little autistic. I think we see things that other people just skate over, mm-hmm. and they sort of stop us. I have a hard time being in large crowds because I'm overloaded with all the information coming at me. So my poor children can't get away from me watching them every second I can and jotting down ideas as I see them struggling with different things.
I agree totally. When I'm at a party, I'm a writer too, and so when I'm at a party, I will miss something someone said because I'm spending so much time looking at the expression in their eyes and the gestures
yes.
of their hands and a thousand other things that other people are indeed missing. And,
I don't go to gas stations. I don't ask for directions, not because I'm a man, but because I'm so... captivated by what the person seems to be going through emotionally. I'll come back to the car, and my wife will say, how do we get there? And I'll say, maybe you'd better check and find out.
Yeah. And the whole deal about taking notes all the time, I do that too. And so, you know, whether I'm watching a movie, I might get ideas or something, or something a family member is saying, and you have to take notes everywhere because it's all, you know, up for grabs kind of. And so I guess you probably do that too. You're just taking notes all the time?
All the time. I also work with teenagers in my church. And yes, teaching's an important part of who I am. But, you know, I'm getting a lot of information at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Very usable, good stuff, I'm sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that you need a unique life perspective to write for teens? And you've covered that a little bit, but do you have anything else on that?
I think honesty is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to, again, sometimes writing faith-based material, if you're not careful, can turn into propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the bad guys are wearing black hats and the good guys are wearing white hats. Those days have come and gone. The teens want authenticity. And sometimes that means showing the good guys is making huge mistakes, but at least realizing it by the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the number one thing for teens is reality. But right on the heels of that is that entertainment. You know, they have a attention span of a nanosecond now.
I agree. Well, now I have a question now that I think is going to be near and dear to your heart from everything that you said previously, so I'm anxious to see what you're going to say about this. Some parents let their kids read books that really are maybe considered quite controversial, but they allow it, saying that, hey, I'm just happy that our kids are reading something, anything. So how do you respond to that mindset, Bill?
Oh, how graphic can I be on this? If I see, that's like saying, well, my child is eating poison. Hey, at least he's eating.
I like that. That's good.
No, that is, no. And particularly with reading, but the same thing with the media. By the way, there's a study by J.L. Singer at Yale University that says, the outlook on any morality can be changed through enough TV viewing. I don't care what you believe. If you watch enough of what I'm producing, I can eventually change your morality into what I want you to believe.
Hmm.
Books are even more powerful because there's a vested interest in the reader. As an author, I only get half the fun. I just put the words on the paper and use my imagination. A reader participates with me, uses their imagination, and together we co-create it. So reading, and those of us that are readers know this, is much more interactive and much more engaging than just watching somebody else have all the creativity on the screen. So even more importantly, I believe with books is to watch what your children read. And I know it's a hassle. I mean, there's so much information coming at them all the time, but that's part of the job of being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. This is so near and dear to my heart, too, and I absolutely love that answer. I could not agree more. I have a 10-year-old daughter. I have a 25-year-old son. And I'm still concerned with the things that my 25-year-old son reads. And anything that I buy for him, I try. You know, you want him to like it, but I do, as a parent, care about any kind of message that could be being given, good or bad, but especially my 10-year-old, because she's so impressionable right now. And I'm so amazed when she says, you know, she'll ask to read a book that's, you know, for older kids. You know, you were talking about paranormal books and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm, you know, oh, no, you can't, you know, read anything that has anything to do with a wizard. You know, it's all according to context and how, you know, what's being said. It could be that, you know, it's a kid just playing, pretending to be a wizard. But I'm just saying that, you know, I know her friends are reading that, but I have to take the time to read it myself. And here's the problem is it takes time to read a book. It's not like the movie where you can just, you can watch 2 hours of a movie and you know whether or not they can see. It actually takes a lot of time and effort to do that. But we do it, and it's important. And there are a lot of those paranormal books that are coming out that are actually geared towards kids.
Mm-hmm. And, Sheila, they're getting darker.
They are.
I'm talking to publishers, as you can imagine, all the time. And at least one major teen publisher, you know, it's no longer being seduced by the darker side of a vampire. The past couple years now, it's shifted over to being forbidden love between women and angels. And now they're playing with forbidden love between young girls and fallen angels.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think artists like Katy Perry are brilliant, but when I see that E.T. video and I see on her video animals mounting each other in the background as she's singing, come take, this isn't an exact quote, but very close, come take control of me, and this is exact, come fill me with your poison, control me. There's something very, very unhealthy going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you hear kids, you know, just from the parents' perspective, you know, I have to hear that, well, my friends get to read it, and you know, they say that it's okay, and it's really hard to have to be the bad guy all the time. And, you know, I just want to encourage parents that are listening, you know, be proactive. You know, in just a little bit, it'll be my turn to ask questions. I know I just kind of butted in, but I just feel so strongly about this, and I really love the answer. Be proactive. Don't wait for your kids to come and say, well, you know, can I read this book? My friends are reading it. You know, find some books. We go to our local bookstore all the time, and I encourage my daughter to get books, but I'm with her when she goes and looks for those books. I don't, you know, we look at them together and we make those decisions together, and I try to make it be this positive thing. But, you know, you see books like Bill's that are, they're obviously funny and fun, and you know that they're going to have a good positive message. You know, those make great birthday presents. They make great Christmas presents. They make great, you know, you got a good report card press. You know, it's nice to help steer your children in choosing the right type of entertainment by setting an example for them.
And it's not like the right type of entertainment is not out there. It is out there. It just takes a lot of research to find it.
Yes.
And it's worth the time and effort. Our kids are absolutely worth that effort. And Sheila, I know you're itching to ask some questions, so I'm going to give the mic to you now. Go ahead.
I probably ate up like several of your questions time.
No, that's right. You go right ahead.
I have to say, Bill, I you know, we talked a little bit about this. I was over on your BillMyers.com. It's /BillMyersKids, and I'll make sure that we put that link up, because you've got to go over, you've got to see this website. And real briefly, I just want to kind of paint a picture for our listeners. When you go there to the page over on the left, you'll see there's different series, picture books, teens, fiction and nonfiction. You can find out how you can email Bill directly if you want to do that. There's samples. One thing that I found on here that just cracked me up, as soon as I saw this, I thought, I am ordering this book. My daughter would absolutely love this book. And for my own personal reasons, and any of you parents who were enjoyed the 80s a lot, you would love this too, I think. TJ and the Time Stumblers, I'm telling you, this is totally, I would read this book myself. Do you get a lot of, do you get adults that say, I read your book and loved it?
Yes, yeah. Some of the older kids series, they actually, I created a video series for Focus on the Family 15, 20 years ago called McGee and Me. And they actually have McGee and Me clubs on some of the college campuses. It's like, what? What?
Right. I love that. Now, I'm going to do something. We don't normally do this, but this is so fun. I can't let this opportunity go by. I just want to play a little bit. You have this video up on the TJ and the Time Stumblers site. So if you go to the site, go to TJ. It says new series next to it right now. And when it comes up, it tells you the name of the books. The book covers are just amazingly fun, all by themselves, great book covers. You have this video up, which I absolutely love. So give me about, let's hear about 15 seconds of this. I'm just going to put my mic up here.
Sheila, I don't think we're hearing too much.
Oh, you're not hearing it. Oh.
No, unfortunately, it's not carrying through. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, and I'm not. I can hear it perfectly on my end. Of course.
I don't know what happened.
Well, you've got to go to Bill's website, and I wish you could hear it. I don't know, Anita, if you have access to a computer. Mine won't do it because I'm doing the switchboard, so it doesn't let you always hear everything I hear.
No, I'm not able to right now.
Oh,
but maybe we could tell everybody where to go online
right.
and watch
well,
it.
Well, yeah. It's billmyers.com/BillMyersKids, KIDS, and that's .com.
Actually, Sheila, if you just go to billmyers.com, there's an icon that'll kick you over to the kids' side.
I saw that first. I wanted to talk. I'm sorry we couldn't hear that because it's so hilarious. You know what I'm going to do? Bill, I'm going to hit you up after the show to get the embed code for this video, and we will put it on the blog because it is so fun.
Oh, thanks.
But, you know, you mentioned, you know, going to billmyers.com, and I wanted to ask you, I was curious about, what's it like for you as an author to go back and forth between writing for adults, because you also write for adult fiction, and writing for teens? Like, do you have to prep yourself to go back and forth between those two mindsets?
It's pretty easy. It takes about 2 days of shifting gears in my head, but that allows me to be more prolific. I mean, I tend to write fairly deep suspense adult books, and then to clear the pipes and to have fun, I'll sit back and I'll write two or three of these comedy books, and it just refreshes me. It's just as grueling to write, but at the end I'm goofy, silly, tired instead of, you know, cerebral tired. So they really actually help each other. And then when I'm tired of being goofy and silly and fun, and I want to be, you know, pretentious again, then I'll write a grown-up book.
Are there like different rules, say like either legally or ethically, that you have to follow when you write for kids or teens that's different from writing for adults?
Not really. You know, entertainment. When I teach writing, they send me into schools to teach writing, one-day workshops. And, you know, the three rules to writing for children is entertain. And entertain, but that's four, but that's because I'm an artist, not a mathematician. But it that's how it works out. And the same thing with adults. Now, the cool thing about writing kids is it's more honest. I don't use $1.50 words. I use 25-cent words. So when I go back and write for adults, you know, I tend to write more honest without trying to show off.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have about 90 seconds left. Could you just let people know where they can find you online?
Oh, sure.
I know we said the website, but is there any place else? Or is that your main stopping place?
That's usually a good place to go. You know, it'll kick me over, or it'll kick you over to Amazon.com. All my stuff's there, of course.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of the local bookstore, you know, and if I'm not there, I'm an even bigger fan of you telling the manager to, well, order some of those books, you stupid person, you.
Well, Bill, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and chat with us.
Oh, absolutely. My privilege. Sure beats writing.
And Anita, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It was a lot of fun, Sheila.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio, our In Faith Network program. And don't forget to stop by at readersentertainment.com or infaithnetwork.com. And we'll put that video up. I promise I promise that I'll hit Bill up and we'll get the embed code. We'll have that video up there and we'll have some links up there. And if you have any questions, you can leave them there. We'll make sure Bill gets them. I'm Sheila English, your host, and thank you again for joining us on In Faith Network.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.